Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio AM 820 brings you The Seminarians, a dialogue with students from the Pontifical College Josephinum, produced by AM 820 to encourage and inspire vocations to the religious life. And now, The Seminarians.
Welcome to The Seminarian Show. I'm PJ Brandymarty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Charlotte. Welcome, brothers.
Hey, PJ.
Hey, Peach. How's it going?
It's going well. How are you, Ian's?
Doing well. Oh, Peach, congrats, by the way, for that sign on your door.
Oh, yes. I've received a beautiful letter from Bishop Campbell that announces my election and calls me to the Sacred Order of the Diaconate.
Right.
I'm very pleased. Couldn't be happier about that. You will probably be hearing this after I've been ordained, but yes, I'm very excited.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Now I just need to not do anything stupid in the next 22 days and get that letter taken away, because it can be taken away just as easily as it's given.
Oh, okay. So, gotcha.
No, I kid. So before we go any further, why don't we open with prayer? Britt, would you like to lead us?
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity today to come before you to discuss your beauty and sacred art. Help us to use it to elevate our minds to contemplate your true beauty and your true goodness. As always, we ask this through all good things through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. So we were talking about what we wanted to talk about today, and we're going to be talking about sacred art, and I mean all forms of art. So not just, I think when we say art, we think of like paintings or statues, but also music, photography, movies, and movies in particular. This is the impetus for this show was, I went and I saw Luke, or not, I'm sorry.
Well, it might as well
have been called Luke. I went and I saw Paul, Apostle of Christ, and I thought that there was a lot about that movie that was really amazing. I thought the acting was very well done. I love the cinematography. I love the soundtrack. But
you loved Luke, apparently,
apparently I love Luke. But apparently we had to love Luke because that's my core issue with the movie is I don't think it was a very good movie. Because I don't think the story was very good at all. And I'm not here to critique this movie. That's not what the show's about. The biggest issue I have with it, and this is an issue I have over and over and over and over with Christian art, is that I thought it was lazy. What I mean by that is it seems like in our culture, because we've gone so secular, we've just lost this sense of what true good and true beauty is. So the only thing that's necessary to please the Catholic or the Christian audience is to simply take Jesus in any way, shape, or form, put him into something, and then you sell it. And then everyone's like, oh my, this is amazing. It's such a great movie. Is it really? No, but they talk about Jesus and it has a moral message, so we should, you know, support it, right? And my answer to that is no.
Right.
We shouldn't, because it's watering down our beautiful culture, our Catholic Christian culture. We come from a heritage that has produced the height of art. I mean, when you go to the museums and you look at all this beautiful art, most of it is Christian, and most of it is from us. The Catholic Church has been the biggest patron of the arts for almost its entire history. When you look at architecture, when you look at all these things.
Music, absolutely. How many of the – I remember a couple of years ago we went to the symphony and they were doing Verdi's Requiem. And
right.
I don't know how many people realized that. That was just the Catholic Mass.
Yeah.
That they were just literally putting that,
that's true.
And it was Verdi's interpretation of the Requiem Mass, of the funeral Mass, and that great Dies Irae that we always hear was just basically their responsorial psalm and
going into Kyrie.
Yeah. And I mean, this it's beautiful where their form of art was our Catholic worship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and as we learned in sacred music, musical notation. Music in general exists as it does today in the Western world because of the Catholic Church.
Because of the development of chant. And
yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only
reason. It's used in the sacred mass.
The only reason we have any music is because it developed from what we did. Music beforehand was so completely different.
No, and I totally understand the frustration because there are, like on my Netflix account, I have the, you know, you have the inspirational and faith genre.
Right.
And some of those movies are just extremely cheesy, you know? And yeah. So it's...
You got really quiet.
Yeah.
Let me shout that. They are extremely cheesy.
Yeah. So thanks, PJ. They, it's just, it almost gives like a bad delivery of the message, of the kerygma, of what the faith is trying to convey. And so I think whenever we are trying to convey the message of Christ, the church uses beauty because it's, because in a certain, well, in a real way, Christ is all beauty. And so they're not mutually exclusive. They have to be accompanied together. And so it shouldn't be cheapened. It should be done well.
Right. And well, and what it should do, and you're hinting at this with the beauty, it needs to point outside of itself and elevate you. And that's what this artwork needs to do. It doesn't need to just,
right,
as PJ was saying, oh, well, Jesus is here, so it's good. It needs to actually elevate it to something.
Because if it conveys like a mediocrity, then it tells you that you're just complacent. So you just stay stagnant.
And what's that say about the faith?
Where you're,
it becomes mediocre.
Exactly. It becomes irrelevant to you. It's just something on the shelf.
Which is, the world absolutely needs the exact opposite of that right now.
Right.
Where it's so secular, as PJ was hinting at the beginning of the show, that, I mean, it needs this true beauty to elevate and raise your mind up to, I'm going to say it, to true art. I know we went to the Carnegie Museums about a month ago now, and we were walking through the art gallery, and there were some of these where it gets to where it's just like blue and red dots all over, and I'm sorry for art critics who listen to our show. I don't know if there are any, but I just don't understand that. Whereas you see this beautiful rendition of the Annunciation of Saint Gabriel coming to Mary, mm-hmm, or beautiful crucifixion scenes, and it raises you up so much more, and it points beyond itself.
Right. I saw a video of this guy. I don't know what his YouTube channel is, but he's a Catholic. He calls himself like a Catholic millennial, and he does commentary on just various issues. And one of them is this issue on art. And he says, you know, we naturally look at something and say, wow, I could have done that. And, you look at something that's probably just like paint splattered or something you could have filmed yourself on your iPhone or whatever. And so there's something about it has to convey this difficulty, this work, this experience, this, I'm struggling to say it, but like, the artist's ability that not everyone has, and so that it's not something everyone has, so it's something you can aspire to.
Right.
Does that make sense? So like the work of art that takes difficulty and work and skill and virtue, in a certain sense, moves you to push yourself to be able to do something that great, a great piece of work.
Mm-hmm. Well, in preparing for it's ordination season, so... that means it's getting towards the end of May, and we've just gone through Easter, so we've just had the glory that is the Triduum. We've had the Chrism Mass, getting ready in the Diocese of Columbus for deacon, transitional deacon, and then priesthood ordinations very shortly after. So when you're discussing what you were saying, I was immediately thinking the art of the liturgy, mm-hmm, and how much work goes into, because really the Roman Missal, the book that we use to celebrate all of the liturgies, it has everything in there. And you can just open it up. You don't have to look at it beforehand. You can just open it up, follow the rules, and you complete what you've set out to complete, which is to celebrate the sacrament. But to do it well, there's an art to it. There's years of study, years of practice, years of mental and physical and emotional preparation to undergo this. That's the whole point of seminary. And then to celebrate many of these rituals, like for the Triduum, I'm a parishioner at St. Matthew's. I thought our Triduum was beautiful. I have not seen anybody else's Triduum since I've been in seminary, so I make no judgment on anybody else's. But mm-hmm, I love the way we do it. The music, the RCIA procession, the fire, just so much of it is just so well done. And the reason it's well done is because Father Sill and everybody at the parish, myself included, being the seminarian there, we really care about what we're doing. And we plan it, we execute it, and I really felt like it was a work of art for the Lord in that moment while looking at the liturgy. You're listening to The Seminarian Show on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. and in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. I'm P.J. Brandymarty from the Diocese of Columbus. Joining me are Britt Taylor and Alfonso Gomez from the Diocese of Raleigh.
From Charlotte.
Charlotte,
right.
Wow.
Yeah. We don't even, Raleigh doesn't even send to the Josephine. Yeah,
it's a 50-50 shot. There's only two dioceses in North Carolina.
I know. That was only two dioceses. Never met anyone from Raleigh.
Christian Cook was from Raleigh. So, yeah. I don't know.
It was supposed to be a joke. It did not go over
well.
Right.
Yeah. So,
did you see how like we immediately reacted to that? No offense to our Raleigh brethren.
I don't think any of them are listening. So
then, never mind. I take that back.
Right.
But PJ, you were talking about like work. You know, like the liturgy is a work, and then it takes a lot of effort mm-hmm. to create something beautiful. And I think when you were describing the movie. You immediately said it was lazy.
And that's my core, I guess, issue with so much Christian art today is whether or not it was, objectively the movie couldn't have been lazily done because so much went into it, so many people worked on it. Mm-hmm. But I felt like the story overall was lazy. I don't want to spoil the movie and feel free to disagree with me, but the core story, I felt, didn't really have anything to do with Paul, and it really wasn't a biblical story. And I'm getting off of almost 24 credits of graduate scripture study, mm-hmm. and I've read so much of scripture, so much of the Acts of the Apostles. I've been Catholic all my life. I've read the Bible all my life. I'm discovering new things all the time. I'm rereading passages, and I'm learning new things. There's so many beautiful stories in scripture.
Right. So a superficial presentation says like there's nothing else there.
Yeah. I feel like that's my most common criticism when it comes to especially the modern media forms, movies, TV and music. The Christian artists, it's just lazy. We're going to put Jesus in here and we're just going to sell it that way because Jesus is there.
Right.
So it makes people who love Jesus obligated to participate in it, not criticize it. My juxtaposition to this is The Passion of the Christ. I thought that was a phenomenally well-done film. Mm-hmm. From any standpoint, even if you're not a Christian, you can look at this movie and go, wow, the story's compelling, the cinematography's great, the acting's amazing. This is just a very well-done movie.
And then it goes further because you know the story and it elevates what I was talking about. It goes beyond itself where this isn't just the story of someone who is wrongly executed. This is the story of our Lord and Savior going through this.
Absolutely.
And that's what makes it even more beautiful.
And is this the Paul movie, is it in English or is it in...
It's entirely in English.
Or is it in... Okay. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I always find that incredibly fascinating that the actors for The Passion of the Christ, you know, had to be trained in Aramaic and Latin and Greek to be able to...
Yeah, that's...
To act...
And that shows the dedication and the time
right.
and how much went into that film to make it good.
Those small, subtle details that like really at the end of the day do embellish the movie and create it.
I don't know if speaking Aramaic was subtle though.
I know, but you think that it like adds to, so like he's talking about the story, right?
That, right.
But like it just adds to the story.
The attention to detail.
The effect. Right, yeah. Exactly.
And there are many, I've seen many movies that are Christian oriented, sold to Christians, and it's okay to like these movies. That there are a lot of bad movies that just are objectively bad, not like morally, but just they're very poorly made that I love. I think they're great. One of my favorite movies is it's a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, and I love it because it was shot in Pittsburgh. I just think it's the greatest thing. I've showed it to so many guys at the seminary, and they think
it is horrible.
It is horrible. It really is a horrible film, but I love it, and that's fine. And if you like these movies, I'm not trying to criticize you. I'm trying to criticize the industry as a whole,
right?
And really ask us to ask for more, mm-hmm. And really demand more. I think there was a number of years ago where the Christian music, and I generally don't listen to Christian music for the same reason. It feels like it's modern day pop music. We're just going to replace every reference to my girlfriend with Jesus, and that's going to be.
But I know we're laughing, but is it? Tell me it's not true.
Listen to some of these songs. Swap out our Lord's name for like honey or sweetie, and it sounds like it could be on a top 40 station a lot.
Honey, I need you.
Yes, exactly. And you know that's fine. It's okay to like those things. I'm not saying it's not. What I'm saying is that we have this wonderful heritage of art, and we've allowed it to just get dumbed down by this overly emotional stuff. And this is not what's going to win converts for Christ.
Yeah. I mean, you're right, because I think the media that you're using should be proportional to what is actually being conveyed.
Which you see in a lot of the sacred art, especially in churches and architecture.
Gosh, like those churches in Rome that we saw?
Yeah.
Those are amazing.
Where, I mean, these are very old churches, and I mean, these people are giving everything and pouring their souls into this work, and there's no indication that, oh yeah, this is just kind of sloppily done or hastily done or even lazily done. This is very deliberate, and very much they knew that this was for the glorification of God. Right. And this is something that's really close to all of us here who have been here long enough to see St. Turibius, our main chapel at the Josephinum, prior to the restoration that took place last year.
Yeah. Yes.
Where originally when the chapel was designed, this magnificent mural was up on the wall depicting the minor orders and really a man's step from being a layman into the holy priesthood of Jesus Christ. And at the top it had this glorious, which I want to talk to Father Martin and see how tall that Jesus is. Mm-hmm. He's got to be at least 14 feet tall of Jesus vested as the high priest, which is what we're all aspiring to
be. Distributing communion.
Distributing communion. Mm-hmm. And then in the mid-80s, and then it was just, now it's a gray wall. Right. And I mean, that does nothing. That doesn't raise your eyes up to heaven. It does the exact opposite, where it makes you, forces you to focus here on the here and now. And really, it wasn't a joy, and it wasn't a pleasure to go to Mass there, because all you were focusing on was this mundane, and even then the altar wasn't even that great either. It was just very mundane and very earthly and very secular, rather than trying to take you out of yourselves and raise you to heaven, which is what the Mass is a participation in the heavenly banquet.
Yeah, it was very stark. It was very stark and heavy. And now it's extremely bright, and it just elevates, you know, your eye to the top. And then as your eye is elevated, so is your mind and your heart. Mm-hmm. And then,
and another example of this
great
is
experience
within the diocese is St. Paul's in Westerville. That, I mean, that mural where you're right behind, you walk in and you see the mural, you see all the saints, and they're all participating in this heavenly banquet, and that raises you up. You can't help but be elevated and lifted towards what is happening here.
Mm-hmm. And so with the notion of beauty, there's the component of harmony. And so like the music has to be in harmony with the space. And then even the way the priest, like what PJ was saying, the effort, it's the effort, the work of years and years and years of actually doing this. So the priest, his disposition, which is called the Ars Celebrandi, how he celebrates Mass, his reverence. And so the music, the space, and the reverence of the priest, all those things in harmony create a beautiful experience so that the participant in Mass can experience what St. Thomas calls delight. And it's really good for the soul.
Right.
And I'm really glad that you brought up the architecture, because we were talking about this earlier, and I think it's an important point. I think that one of the reasons why I'm experiencing this reaction to the Christian art that's out there is that, in general, the level of art in our society has dropped to such a low level. And I willingly admit that I'm a part of that. I like a lot of the stuff that's out there. But it's just not good. It's just been lessened. Just in the same way as we were talking about St. Turibius, it was lessened when that beautiful mural was painted over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the reasons why we're having this reaction to the Christian art is because these artists are looking out to the society and going, we need to be better than this. But their better is just not good enough. It's not deserving of the beautiful history that Christian art really has. It would be as if honestly, St. Turibius at one point was just a big gray wall. And you could have painted that wall blue, and I would have gone, wow, that's awesome. Looks so much better. Everything about this is better.
I mean, I'm sure
I love it.
I'm sure that was the experience when they put those red drapes.
No, absolutely.
Oh,
and that's,
yeah.
You know? And so for those of you who've never been to the Josephinum,
the monkey bars
in between the time that it was painted gray and the time that it was restored, our previous rector put red drapes over large parts of the
columns.
Just to bring
a quarter of the wall was red.
Right. Drapes. Yeah, just to bring some color, mm-hmm. And we changed the altar from this little gray slab of concrete to a beautiful.
It was wood with the
Last Supper.
Yeah,
depiction mm-hmm. on the front,
and it looked wonderful. It really did. But it didn't change the fact that the space just didn't have the beauty it once did. It made it more beautiful, but it didn't make it beautiful. And I think that's what the point I'm trying to get here is. We're with so much of this, because we're living in a culture that's so devoid of true beauty, of things that uplift the human spirit and things that drive us just to be better, doing any amount of that can make it seem like, wow, this is amazing, this is great. And it's okay to like movies like that, but I think that there's danger in settling for that. So just as we didn't settle at the Josephinum until we got back the beauty that was once there, and in my opinion is better than ever,
mm-hmm.
Nor should we as Christian art consumers settle for things that are not as good as they could be. I'm not saying that we have to hate and destroy everything that's not perfect, but I think we can say about things, we like what we like, but this could be better. Mm-hmm. Let's make it better. And that's how we're going to get these very talented people, these artists, these musicians, these actors who love their craft and do it very well. If we respond to them and say, we want this awesome level of beauty, they're going to deliver it.
Well, and a very simple way of looking at this too, with just objective. So you look at the music today and everyone holds up Mozart and Beethoven and Bach and all these great, and they're held up as these musical geniuses. Can you really say that about anyone on the radio today in today's day and age? I mean, are you going to say, oh man, Miley Cyrus, she's just a genius with music, or really anyone who's got a popular song out there right now?
Yeah, I think so. I think she is. I'm just kidding.
Okay, so besides Alfonso, can anyone actually say that these people are even in the same ballpark, same league as a Mozart who
right.
is able to take, and this, they're working from the same text, the same liturgy, and they're able to compose the notes in such a way that it changes the way it's presented, but doesn't change what is presented, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. It's just presenting it in a new way that elevates you and takes you to a different experience of the same thing that's ultimately leading you to the same end.
Mm-hmm. Well, you guys know my favorite music.
Oh, yes. We hear it on the way over here.
My music from my high school days, sure. Primarily early 2000s pop punk and emo music. And I love it. I really do, but it's not good.
It's not. We know.
You guys definitely know.
It's an acquired taste.
But it's, I mean, it doesn't lift me up. Some of it does, but for the most part, it brings you down. And I think a lot of art today brings you down.
Right.
Because that's where our secular worldview is. It's down. There's nothing good. And we're just kind of floating in the ether.
And that's why the church does speak about the arts, you know, about mm-hmm. exhorting the arts to not fall into mediocrity, but to increase its beauty and conformity with beauty, because it speaks to the human heart, to the human person, and it affects our emotions, it affects our relationality with people. And I know John Paul II, who himself, when he was a teenager, he was an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, I think he wrote letters and gave audiences to script writers and to actors and to authors and all these people, and really exhorted them to say, you know, don't just be complacent or don't give mediocre work, but the world needs beauty. Because I think his quote is, beauty sends you on mission. And I'm looking at the wall right now here at St. Gabriel Radio, and it says, led with beauty. And I mean, that's really what beauty is supposed to do to you. It's supposed to impact you to aspire to that. And again, going back to the liturgy, the word Misa, Mass, mm-hmm. means to go on mission. So like, once you experience the beauty of the Mass, you go out into the world and it sends you forth.
Because you're experiencing the beauty of heaven.
Right,
and
exactly.
That should want you to send you forth so that then you bring heaven and bring others to heaven.
Right.
Well, That was a good conversation on beauty, guys. So I guess the call to action I would leave everybody with is, don't think that I'm hating on your favorite films, but let's not get swept up in the love of this art just because it has Christ in it. Let's really look and be critical of it, and call it out when it could be better and ask for it to be better. So let's wrap up our time here. Alfonso, will you close us in prayer?
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty, good, and gracious God, we give you thanks for your creation that inspires our minds and our hearts to be able to communicate to the people whom you entrust us all the truths that you have revealed. We ask you to inspire artists, actors, and painters to be able to communicate this message as well through the talents that you give them. We ask all these things in your most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much for joining us today on The Seminarian Show. You can hear this show every Tuesday at noon and Sunday at 1 p.m. in the audio archives at stgabrielradio.com. Thank you very much. May God richly bless you.
The Seminarians is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of the Seminarians and all of our locally produced programs are available at stgabrielradio.com.